Hello. Let me get situated here where I don't have a bunch of junk in the background. As y'all can see, I'm in a little different location than I usually am. Okay, that's better. I'm actually at my brother and sister-in-law's house because I keep my nieces on Thursdays. All right, y'all come into the chat. Let me know who's here. Hi, Aussie Lee, you're in Queensland. Yes, it's morning there, isn't it? All right, y'all, we're going to be talking about realistic planning. So here is the deal. I'm going to kind of tell y'all what we're going to do tonight, kind of give you all kind of a rundown of how everything's going to work. And then I want to give you a few announcements about the rest of the week. So don't let me forget that. But, and then we will just get going. So in the meantime, while I'm saying all that, I want you all to, so this is a Q&A call for doable planning, doable realistic planning. We'll kind of talk about if there's really a difference between doable and realistic. I actually think there is, which is why we're changing the name to doable planning. I mean, we'll still call it realistic planning sometimes, but I'm going to talk about that for a second. So if y'all have any questions about doable realistic planning, which is one of our four basics, I re-listened to the No BS lesson this morning to just sharpen my memory, because I always learn something new when I listen to a new No BS lesson again. So I absolutely recommend that y'all just go back and just listen to, lessons here and there. You don't have to go through in order. You don't have to do it, perfectly by any means. So just go back and say, you know what, maybe I think I need a little reminder about realistic planning, or I need a little reminder about the hunger scale, or I need a little reminder about the feeling line of the model, right? So you all can always just go back and just jump in and just review one little lesson. But yes, this is part of Basics Bootcamp, which is what we're doing in July. And it is just all about the basics. So y'all know our four basics are at least 64 ounces of water. For most of you all, it'll be 64 or more. There may be a few of you all where less than 64 works for you. So around 64 ounces. I have my water bottle here that I have filled up for, I just filled it up for the third time today, and it's 32 ounces. So I've gotten my 64 in. And y'all, it is so humid here in Arkansas that I've been going to at least about 80 ounces a day, as many as 100. Because I'll do two to three of these, which are all 32 ounces, and then I'll usually have a sparkling water like a LaCroix or a Kroger brand can of sparkling water at some point in the afternoon or something. So that's usually what I do, and then I have my coffee in the morning. So water, sleep, 7 to 8 hours. Again, some people can do with less. Some people need more. Everybody's a little bit different. I swear I think I could sleep 10 to 12 hours a night if I chose to take the time to do that. I love to sleep. I'm a good sleeper. So while I'm talking, any questions about realistic planning, put it in the Q&A box, not in the chat, put it in the Q&A box. And then if anyone wants to be coached specifically on realistic planning, doable planning, if anybody wants to be coached on their food plan, on their 24-hour plan, I'm going to talk about mine here in a second, then raise your hand, okay? So, because we'll probably be on here for just about an hour, and so I'm going to do a little teaching, then I'll do some Q&A, and then I'll bring anybody on, but no mama drama, no my boss pissed me off today. It's specifically on doable realistic planning. Okay. So sleep, water, sleep, make a plan every day, 24-hour plan. And y'all know we call it the 24-hour plan because ideally your food is planned at least around 24 hours in advance. And so, well, I say that, but it's either the night before or the morning of. It's definitely planned before you start eating, right? So that's the priority, is that it is planned before the day starts. And so that's why we sometimes you'll see it and in the planner, it's called the 24-hour plan, because it is planned ahead of time. And really, I think when we first started or when we first learned about this, other people were calling it the 24-hour plan because most people were planning it the day before. And some people do plan the night before. I know Coach Kathy, usually right after she eats dinner, she assesses her day and she plans the next day. I get up and plan the morning of. So it just really depends on what your preference is. So we're going to talk about the plan here in a minute. And then the last thing is the hunger scale. And so that's our 2-2. And it, for you new folks, if you haven't gotten to that, or you need to review that for the in no BS, please do that, because I know there's always lots of questions. Does LaCroix taste better the more you drink it? Here's the deal, Lauren. I like certain flavors and I don't like other flavors. Actually, downstairs, my sister-in-law has the limoncello flavor. I guess some people love it because they love lemon stuff, but it's not my cup of tea. So there are certain flavors I like, but I actually prefer other brands other than LaCroix. I like the new Bubbly, which I think is the Pepsi brand. And then there's AHA, which is the Coke brand, because you know all these sparkling waters getting to be real popular right now. So AHA has a brand is the brand from Coke, and I haven't tried that yet. So I just like to try all kinds of different flavors. But y'all, here's my favorite. If y'all have Kroger, and probably other stores carry it too, I should have brought my can up here. But Kroger has, it's called, I don't know what it's called, but it's actually sparkling water with the flavor of Dr. Pepper. And it is crazy. It tastes exactly like Dr. Pepper, except it's not sweet. I like to say that it tastes like a Dr. Pepper burp. You burped Dr. Pepper. Because it's not sweet, but it has the flavor of Dr. Pepper. They have Dr. Pepper, they have cola flavor, and they have root beer flavor. And I like the root beer flavor too, because I love root beer. So that is probably my favorite kind of sparkling water. But I also like the fruity flavors from Bubbly. I like cherry and those kind of flavors. So you just try out what you like. The next 24 hours of planned eats. Yes, Joni, that's probably why it's called the 24-hour plan, is because you are planning the next 24 hours. Good one. Thank you. Yeah, some people, it just works to plan the night before, because some people are thinking about it in the night or thinking about it before they go to bed. And sometimes it's good to have those decisions made before you go to bed so that it's not on your mind. So it really is just whatever works for you. All right. Okay. All the water talk. Yes, Lauren, it's not like you've got a plan, you know, like I'm going to have dinner, you know, in a couple of hours, and then I have to plan, you know, the next dinner within the next 24 hours. No, it's just about making decisions ahead of time. And decisions, you know, just not in the moment. And so it doesn't have to be exactly 24 hours. Okay. Water, water, water. Let's get through all the water chat. Let's see. Fizz and Company. That's it, Karen. Fizz and Company is my jam. I'm just saying. Y'all look for that. Fizz and Company, but it's Kroger brand. It's Kroger brand. I found it in my Kroger, and it's cheap too. It's a lot cheaper than LaCroix and stuff like that. A lot of people planning the night before. Okay. All right. So just always making sure. Oh, there's lots of questions. All right, let's go. So, all right, I'm just going to start just go into questions, and then I'll probably talk about my 24-hour plan today, because I made a super doable 24-hour plan. And y'all don't forget that we have this handy dandy workbook for the Basics Bootcamp that is on the Basics Bootcamp page. If anybody is at their computer and can post that link in the chat, but it is on at pnptribe.com. You go to bonus courses and it's right there at the top, Basics Bootcamp. And that's where you can print off your workbook. And this is not a real super you know, heavy in-depth workbook. It just gives you some real good little tidbits on the four areas that we're going to be focusing on this month, which is the doable 24-hour plan, the negative two side on the hunger scale, and I'm going to be back next Thursday to talk about negative two, the plus side, plus two side on the hunger scale, and then applying all of this to weekends, holidays, and trips. And I can't wait for that because I'm actually going to be on vacation the last week in July. So I might be coming in and doing like a little live or something and tell y'all how I travel and how I roll when I'm on vacation. Because I'm going to be like Corinne was a few weeks ago. I'm going to be going to the beach and staying with some family in a beach house. So, all right. So doable 24-hour plan. All right. Let me look here through these questions. Because again, all these questions are focused specifically on the doable 24-hour plan. How do you handle the thoughts when you level up and then eat off plan? I've installed since March and I keep trying to level up and then eat off plan. So here's what you want to do. You want to ask yourself, why are you eating off plan when you level up? Is it that your level up is too much at one time? I mean, what are you telling yourself in the moment? Let's just take you right to that moment where let's say you've got, let's see what your level up was. It's maybe, actually in that lesson in OBS, she was talking about like, let's go to Chick-fil-A, right? We usually get a chicken sandwich and French fries. We're now going to go to Chick-fil-A and get a salad and French fries. And so let's say you're at Chick-fil-A, you're about to order. And what is keeping you from ordering that salad and French fries? What are you telling yourself? I shouldn't have to do this. This isn't fair. This isn't ever going to work anyway. I had never lost weight. How's this going to be any different? You got to listen to your thoughts, right? That's what's keeping you from leveling up and then eating off plan. So you got to really look at your thoughts around what you make leveling up mean. Okay. So that's what I want you to think about. Let's see. Is it okay to just put fruits, veggies, protein, healthy fats on a realistic plan? Good question, Katrina. What do y'all think? Do y'all think it's okay to be just more general about your foods on the realistic plan? My answer is it depends. It depends because here's the deal. You do what works for you. The whole point of doable planning is to follow the plan. So if it works for you to just put fruits, veggies, proteins, healthy fats, and you know what falls under those categories, and you also commit to following your hunger scale with those categories, then absolutely. There's no rule that says that you have to be super specific with your food and that you have to include every single ingredient that you're going to eat. But here's where you can get tripped up. And it happens to me sometimes too. Let's say I put dessert on the plan. Like I'm going, like last weekend I went to a 4th of July thing at my in-laws. And I put dessert. Well, my brain can have some fun with that because they had cookies and they had cake and they had this, and my mind was like, well, that's dessert and that's dessert and that's dessert and that counts as dessert. So that's where you got to be careful. But if it's working for you, you're following your hunger scale, you're losing weight, do what works for you. But just be sure you're not doing something that where you're able to kind of play games with your mind. You just got to be honest with yourself, right? Okay. I want to read all the chat and I've got questions to answer. All right. Yeah, of course you can. If you're using the old planner, the planning pages are, you know, we're talking about planning your food. So it's all the same. It's all the same if you're using the old planner too. Always think my plans are realistic and doable, but I let my urges take over during the day or I forget about my plan. Any recommendations? Well, first off, you can make it real easy to not forget about your plan. A lot of people will take a picture of their plan and make it the home screen on their phone, or they might set an alarm, several alarms throughout the day to just remind them, hey, check your plan. Or, you know, there's probably some app or something on your phone where you set an alarm, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, your plan just pops up on your phone. I mean, we've got enough technology these days. So there should be no excuse for forgetting what your plan, it's what's on your plan, or forgetting about your plan. Now you want to ask yourself, Emily, are you really forgetting about your plan, or are you telling yourself, fuck the plan, let's just have what we want? That's what you've really got to ask yourself. And here's the thing, urges don't take over during the day. You talking like that is really kind of a victim type of language, right? Like you're not in control. We're always in control of this hand to mouth, y'all, right? So yes, you have urges, and yes, it's a process to work on allowing them and not giving into them. I had all kinds of urges yesterday. And I mean, I was making plans. I could go and do this, and I could go and do that, get this, and I could go and have this. And then I said, do I really want to do that? Is that what I want to do? Am I going to feel good? How am I going to feel? Right? I took myself to my future self. So that's the practice. That's the work. Okay. Do I need to do a discovery worksheet if I make a change to my plan that is a level up, or if I don't eat the planned meal? No, I don't think that's necessary, Penny, because if it was a level up, or if you just didn't eat because you weren't hungry, no need to do a discovery worksheet. But here's the deal. If you ever have a question about whether you should do a discovery worksheet, just do one. See what you can learn. I think you can always learn from something with a discovery worksheet. All right. I normally have coffee only for breakfast, and one day I have 14, I have eggs, but I don't decide until I'm up. How does this fall within the realistic plan? Just put eggs on your plan. And then if you don't eat them, it's no big deal. Here's the deal with the plan, y'all. It's the point is not to have this perfect plan where you eat everything on your plan. You want to over plan. So I want you to put eggs on your plan for every day, just so that they're on there, just in case you want them. And they're there and available to you. But if you don't eat them, then you just don't eat them. But that doesn't mean you didn't follow your plan. That means you just planned for something and you didn't eat it. Okay? You said I'd rather not always put eggs down, if that makes sense. Why? Just put them down there. And then they'll be available to you if you want them. Would someone at Goal always put it down? Or would they just say they didn't follow their plan for that day? No, they would be realistic and doable. And say, you know what? Some days I want eggs. I'm just going to put eggs down. And I'm not going to overthink it and have a lot of drama around it. Yeah, that's the thing. Is that if you instead of eggs, if you're talking about chocolate, yeah, you put the chocolate down. So that was a good catch there. Is, you know, eggs are no different from chocolate. You would put chocolate on your plan. And that's what I've been doing. I've been having chocolate in the evening, some dark chocolate, and I just put it down almost every night just in case I want it. Sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. If I write protocols for my period, do I just put period protocol on my plan when I think my period is starting? You can, because as long as you've got a very clear period protocol that you know you can follow, that's doable and realistic. So y'all can write your plan however you want, either as vague or as specific as you want, because it's all up to you, right? You know if you're following the plan or not, if you're honest with yourself, right? It tends to make me anxious to do a plan. I'm not sure if this is resistance. I start to worry about getting it right. I realize that it doesn't have to be perfect, but it feels so overwhelming. Do you have any advice? Yes, you got to look at your thoughts, Liv, because here's your thoughts. I got to get it right. It's got to be perfect. I know about those thoughts because I hear them every single day in my mind. But what if it's not right? But it's got to be perfect. No, it's got to be doable and realistic. And then you want to journal a little bit more on what does right and perfect mean to you? And is that helping you? No, probably not, right? Probably not. And so you're feeling anxious because you're having thoughts like it's got to be perfect. It's got to be right. and I don't even know what that means, maybe. And so for you, it's a matter of practicing some new thoughts like, I just am going to do a plan today. I'm just practicing this planning thing. It doesn't have to be perfect or right. I'm just going to make a plan today and it's going to be okay. Something like that, right? That helps you with that anxiety. And this is what I had to do when I was losing weight, because I mean, the thoughts about, but it's not perfect, but it's not right, were loud and clear. But every day I just had to get up and hear those thoughts and practice new ones and say, but I'm, you know, one of my big power thoughts when I was losing weight, a lot of y'all heard this before, I just got to do something different this time. I'm just going to do something different this time. I'm just going to work on not thinking that it has to be perfect or it has to be right. Because thinking it had to be perfect and had to be right had gotten me to where I was then at 195 pounds, which was my highest weight. And so I just kept reminding myself, I'm just going to do something different. And it's going to feel weird and it's going to feel different and it's going to feel, you know, I'm going to have the doubt. I'm going to do it anyway, because what I've been doing before hasn't worked. Can you talk about the doable plan in terms of looking at a whole week? I'm trying to limit my exceptions. Okay. So we don't have that in our new plan, or we don't have that weekly plan anymore. You know, we kind of had like with the boxes and stuff, but you can absolutely still plan. You know, you can take your planning pages for the next seven, like at the beginning of the week, you can take your planning pages and go ahead and put food on different days if you want to. Like for your exceptions, and when she says exceptions, she means just food that she normally doesn't eat every day. So that would be maybe a dessert or alcohol or something like that. We used to call them exceptions, and now we don't even really talk about them all that much, because you can just plan them whenever you want. And so just think about your week, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, where just think about your, because I mean, when you plan each day, you just think about your schedule, right? There's these four steps. I'll go over these right now. There's these four steps to make a doable plan. You look at the day's schedule. And so for you, for the week, you just look at the week's schedule. Okay, what do I have going on this week? Do I have any dinners out? Am I traveling? Am I, you know, doing something on the weekend? All that kind of stuff. And then you just decide, okay, I'm going to make a plan. What is the weekly? Let's see what the weekly, because there is a weekly planning page. Oh, wait, it's back here. Yeah. So, I mean, we still have the weekly plan page. It doesn't have the squares for the food for each day, but the foods that I want to include this week are, there's that space for that. The foods I want to reduce or eliminate are. So in the this week, the foods I want to include are, that's where you could put your, you know, exception foods. You could say, okay, I'm going to have, you know, 3 glasses of wine on Friday night. I'm going to have dessert on Tuesday night. I'm going to have, you know, whatever it is. And so you can do that in the weekly plan page. So the first step for a doable plan, look at the day schedule. So this is when you're planning daily. Make sure you take into account any events to plan around and what food is in the house. So you look at your schedule and then you think about what food you have. Or if you need to go to the store, you know, you have your list and you go to the store. Write your plan. Here's the third step. Write your plan with no judgment. That is like the most important step. Because that's where if we're having judgment, that's when we're saying, well, but it's not perfect. Well, but it's not right. Well, am I going to be able to lose weight on this plan? Well, how are you going to know that? How are you ever going to know if you can lose weight on the plan that you're making? You got to do the plan, eat the food, and then weigh yourself at the end of the week. You're not going to know ahead of time. You're just not going to know. We're all different. We all have different bodies. We all have different metabolisms. We all have different hormones. So you just have to try it out and see what is realistic and doable for you to follow and then to lose weight on. And then the last step is in the habit of a nighttime snack, for example, or in the habit of a mid-afternoon snack. Put it on the plan. If you were eating at some point during the day, if you have a habit of eating, especially at first, you just got to put it on the plan, y'all. You just got to put it on the plan. And it says, I want you eating consciously, not behind your own back. And for a while there, I didn't really understand what that meant. Like, I didn't, like, what do you mean behind your own back? But you're not eating consciously, right? You're not eating intentionally. You're just grab-assing things here and there, and it's not on the plan. And then you end up not following the plan because you don't want to write it down and see it on paper. But if you don't have any judgment, it's not a big deal to just put it down there. If I'm having a sleeve of Oreos at 9 o'clock at night watching TV, it's time to put that sleeve of Oreos on your plan. And you can't skip that step to lose weight faster. You have to be honest and conscious about what you're eating right now before you can ever change it and level up. We are in for the long game, y'all, when it comes to weight loss. And I'm not talking 10 years, but it's probably not going to be a Nutrisystem deal where you got 40 pounds off in 3 months or whatever. We are in for the long game because we are in for the long game. We're in for losing weight and then keeping it off. That keeping it off part is what's missing in most other diets. And I don't know about y'all, but that's a pretty important part of losing weight for me, is actually keeping it off this time and losing it for the last time. All right, I got on my little soapbox there. What are some best foods to put on your plan if you have the biggest sweet tooth? Well, here you go. Well, here's the first thing. I want you to stop saying you have the biggest sweet tooth. It just doesn't help you to keep saying it, to keep writing it. Because then your brain goes, sweets, sweets, where's sweets? What? We have a sweet tooth. We need to find sweets. This is the most impactful sentence I got out of the Chasing Cupcakes book last month. You can talk about, you know, having a sweet tooth, or you can talk about overeating, or you can talk about binging, or you can talk about not following your plan. Having a sweet tooth is a past pattern unless I choose to repeat it again. She was talking about overeating. She said, overeating is a past pattern unless I choose it again. You having a sweet tooth can be a past pattern. And I'm not saying you never have anything sweet, but having the biggest sweet tooth does not, you saying that doesn't help you, right? It's dramatic. It makes everything sound hard. And then you're trying to, like, maybe come up with some frankenfoods to just, you know, keep the resistance down a little bit. How about you start planning some sweets intentionally and consciously so that when you are eating them, you're in control. You're totally in control. I wrote down some feelings about what doable planning, if you are planning realistically and doably, this is how you'll probably be feeling: in control, responsible, aware, and conscious. Those are the feelings that we're looking for when it comes to doable planning. Okay? So for you, I don't want you to worry about those best foods. I want you to start putting the sweets that you're eating now on your plan. And stop saying that you have the biggest sweet tooth. No, you just choose to eat some sweets. And it's not a big deal. And you can work on leveling up over time. But you can absolutely include some sweets in your plan for right now. What do you do when you're making your plan and forget to add something that is part of a dish you plan for? Would that be an off-plan eat? Is it okay to slip it in there? Well, Lori, I mean, you know, it depends. Again, it's up to you, right? Like, I don't put every single ingredient of, you know, a meal, or like, for example, like a salad. You know, Corinne talks about she puts big ass salad on her plan. She's not putting lettuce and tomato and whatever it is. I mean, I mean, it wouldn't be an issue for me because, I mean, I don't know what exactly what you're talking about, but it just, I mean, if I'm eating to a plus two, if I'm following my hunger scale, it's probably not that big of a deal, right? You don't want to overthink stuff because that's where you move into perfectionism and overthinking, okay? And only you know what that is for you. How do you stay on plan when you change it in the middle of the day if things happened? Okay, here's the deal. Why did you change it in the middle of the day? I mean, making a doable plan is a commitment that you make to yourself. So you want to be sure, like, I don't know what you mean by things happening, but you want to make a, you know, as clear of a commitment to yourself in the morning. I mean, things do happen. Things do happen in the day, right? You know, family wants to go out. You can choose to, you know, eat with them or not. Yes, you'll be off plan, but, or you can choose to stay on plan, eat before you go, and then not eat with them. But here's the thing. Off plan doesn't make you a horrible person. It's just something to learn from. But the purpose of this plan is to practice making a commitment to yourself and following through on it. So the whole thing is, you know, going off plan doesn't make you wrong or terrible or bad. But you just want to ask yourself why you're choosing to go off plan. Do you like your reason? Do you like your reason for it? That's what you got to ask yourself. Yeah, the calls, Penny, will start at 5 Central on Thursdays. Would you please talk a little bit about the difference between realistic and doable? They're the same. I mean, just that the word realistic was a little confusing to people. Like, well, I could make a realistic plan, but am I actually going to follow it? So that's why we're changing it to doable, because we want you to be able to do it. You know, you might make a realistic plan, but are you going to actually follow it and do it? So that's why we're changing it to the doable plan, because we want you to do it. And so, yeah, so it's like they are the same, because realistic, to me, realistic assumes doable, but that isn't in the case, you know, for everybody. The whole key to this thing is that you actually do it and follow it most of the time. But if you don't, that still doesn't mean you're bad or you're a terrible person. You just do a discovery worksheet, you learn from it, and you move forward. Okay? Wendy says, is it okay to have the same realistic plan every day? I get results when it's general. I feel like I give myself permission to eat more when I have specific food. If it's more general, I focus more on the hunger scale. I have a hard time doing both at the same time. Wendy, that's a perfect example of doing what works for you. If making it more general keeps you following, I mean, you know, something you want to kind of get curious about, like what's going on in your mind when it's more specific and then you choose to eat more. I mean, what are you telling yourself there? You want to get curious about that and journal about that, but you want to just do what works for you. Okay. So totally fine. Joanne says, I've had a couple of binges lately and recently made the connection that my binging probably was the result of restricted dieting all my life. Probably so. It's very common. I've been thinking I should just not plan foods like these, like M&Ms or candy bars. I know if they come home from the grocery store, I have trouble managing my mind around them. Thoughts? I want you to plan them, Joanne. I want you to plan them, because you just not buying them, that's part of that restricted dieting. You know, I want you to plan them and practice managing your mind around them. You're having trouble right now because you're not even practicing it, because you're just not buying them. But if you want some M&Ms or some candy bars sometimes, you've got to have practice putting them on your plan and managing your mind. You're not going to get any better at managing your mind if you're just avoiding it, right? So you gotta get in there and practice. And that means that sometimes you're going to overeat and sometimes you're not. But are you all in for all of it so that you can finally figure this out for the last time? So I want you to plan those M&Ms, plan those candy bars, and practice having them in the house and managing your mind. And doing all the work while you're doing that. If you overeat, you do a discovery worksheet and you write down, you really work on that awareness. What is going on in my mind when I decide to overeat on this stuff? What am I telling myself? Because you're already starting the work, because you know it's about restrictive dieting. You know it's about your old diet mentality of, I can't have this. And then your mind goes to, it's not fair. We'll never lose weight anyway. You know, let's just eat it all, right? It's that all or nothing. Very, very common. But you can absolutely work on changing that with practice. But that doesn't mean avoiding it by just not keeping it in the house. I feel like my plan is doable, but every once in a while at my 2 p.m. snack, I just keep going and choosing to eat off plan. I'm not sure if I should just stop including the initial on snack plan or how I work through the thoughts after my snack. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I don't know what you mean by just keep going. I'm assuming that means like you just keep eating more and more. So whatever that is that you just keep eating more and more, I want you to put that on your plan. Because here's the deal. This is the point of the whole thing, is to make the plan doable enough for you to follow it. You've got to get these wins in. I wrote this down. Let me see where I put that. I was talking about wins. Here we go. Put what you are eating now. So this is for you, anonymous attendee, where you talked about you keep going after your 2 p.m. snack. Put what you are eating now on the plan. You're building the skill of keeping commitments to yourself. So you got to make it as doable for where you are right now. Quit denying yourself wins. That's what Corinne said in the No BS lesson. Quit denying yourself wins by making unrealistic plans. They're not going to work. The whole point of this is to make the plan so doable that you follow it day after day after day, and you collect all these wins. You get all these wins under your belt. And that tells your mind like, oh, well, this plan thing, okay, I think we can do this plan thing. I mean, I'm planning M&Ms, I'm planning pizza, I'm planning going out for Mexican. I'm following my plan. Now, let me see. I'm doing that for a few weeks. Let me see how the scale is going. Is the scale moving? Is the scale going down? If the scale's going down, I ain't changing a thing until that scale stops going down. But if the scale isn't moving, what's one thing I could level up on? And Shannon, that's what I'm talking about leveling up, is what is one thing I could level up on? And so we're talking about a leveling up your food. So if we go out for Mexican, do I need all the beans and rice? Or could I just tell them, hey, leave that off? Or could I count out a few chips, 10 chips? Instead of just, you know, grabbing out of the basket, all these little small level ups, we call them 1% level ups. We're talking 1%, tiny little level ups. You know, Corinne talks about moving just from eating out of the carton, eating ice cream out of the carton, to putting it in a bowl. Could be the exact same amount, but she's just leveling up from eating out of the carton. A lot of times that's what it's going to be. You're just not eating chips straight out of the bag. You're just, one of my things that I like to do, I like to commit to is like, I only eat off of a plate. If it's going to go in this body of mine, I'm going to eat it off of a plate. Like most humans do. I'm not going to eat out of bags. I'm not going to eat out of boxes. That's a great level up. So that's what this is about. This is the process is just about building the skill of making a commitment to yourself, whatever it is on your plan, and following through. Because that tells your mind, like, we can do this commitment thing. We can keep promises to ourselves. How awesome is that? Okay. I want to get through a few more questions and then we're going to talk to at least one person. If you put everything on the plan that you might eat, won't that be too much food? Yes, Jill. Eggs, toast, and peanut butter for breakfast, even though you plan to do just one of them. How do you feel about putting two options on? You can put options on, but you're still following your hunger scale. You're still practicing your hunger scale as well. So if it's too much food, then you just only eat what you want and what gets you to a plus two. Okay. It's not confusing. That's just how it works, but you can absolutely give yourself options if you want. Samantha says she writes a snack every night and she's eating it no matter her hunger scale. I'm not ready to get rid of it yet. How do I get myself to that level up? You got to decide yourself that you're decide to tell yourself that you're ready to get rid of it. And ask yourself now why you're not ready to get rid of it. What's going on in your mind where you're telling yourself you're not ready? Why aren't you ready? I want you to write about that. What do you make that snack mean? Why are you not ready? And then the level up might be just to a little bit less food. It might be to something different that's a little bit healthier. I mean, you can absolutely have that level up. It's not like you got to just take everything away. But think about how you could level up to where it's just a little bit less food, or it's a little bit, you know, it's in that good, better, best. It's maybe goes from good to better. Right? It's like maybe goes from real ice cream to frozen yogurt or something like that. You know what the level ups are. Making substitutions versus going off plan. If it's a healthy, if it's a pretty equal healthy substitution, and y'all know what those are too. Y'all, I don't have to give y'all a million examples of that. We know that a cheeseburger and fries instead of a salad is not a, you know, equivalent substitution. So y'all, I mean, these are the kind of questions where you are building the relationship that you have with food and yourself to trust yourself, right? There's no right or wrong answers here, but you just know, right? And this is where you really build that relationship with yourself to be able to say, okay, instead of chicken and rice, I had a salad with chicken. That's a equivalent. It's not a big deal. Don't overthink it. Okay. I'm going to go ahead. I want to coach at least one person. So Raquel, let's get you up here. See what questions you have.
Hi there.
Let's see. I can't hear. Oh, hold on a minute. I think it's me. Okay.
Kai, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I'll try and be quick. I've been since January, and the last probably 40 days, I've made a plan. Mm-hmm. I've only followed that plan maybe twice.
Okay. Why?
It is almost like I rebel against the plan. I have some here, and like I've put, you know, tortilla chips on, or I've put, you know, ice cream on and stuff, but then I still don't follow it. It's almost like I just rebel and mm-hmm. just go, you know what? Yes, that's a great little plan right there, but I'm not going to follow that. Mm-hmm. And it is so frustrating mm-hmm. because it's like I'm living Groundhog Day, that right. movie over and over where I get up in the morning and I do my plan. And I'm feeling good. And then at night, I haven't followed my plan. So then the next day, I make the resolve that I'm going to follow the plan. And then I don't follow the plan.
Okay. So what are you telling you? So rebellious is the feeling, right? What is the thought? Like you made this plan. What are you mm-hmm. telling yourself that leads you to rebel and not follow it?
Um, I'm not sure what I'm telling myself. Cause I do the, where she asked, like, are you a 10 or better?
Yeah.
So I'm usually an 8 or a 10. Cause in the snack line, I add a lot of different snacks, but it's almost like in the afternoon, I just go screw it and I'm going to have pizza.
It might be, I mean, it might just be screw it is what you're telling yourself, but okay. You're telling yourself something that, I mean, screw it. Why do you think you're saying screw it? Why do you think that you're rebelling? I mean, what's going on kind of one level underneath? It sounds to me like you're giving yourself all kinds of options. So it's not the plan itself, right? You got every option. I mean, you might want to just start putting pizza on the plan.
Well, that's been my go-to, and that's the hard thing is it's like, geez, Louise.
Okay, so why haven't you just put pizza on the plan, or have you?
Not as much as I've eaten it, for sure, no. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to start putting pizza on. What if you put pizza on the plan, let's say, tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Do you think you would still want to rebel?
Well, but you know what? This is what gets hard is it's like, but I've already had pizza twice this week, so I can't put pizza on the plan again tomorrow. Like, I have to put something that's doable for me, you know, or that's going to help me lose weight. Like,
okay, there we go. That's it. That's it. Because what did I say a little while ago? It for you, this, it may not even be about losing weight right now. It doesn't sound like it is. We're not talking, like, losing weight is not on the table yet. And I mean, I know y'all don't love to hear that because that's what you're here to do.
Right.
But for you, what's the only thing that's on the table right now is you making a doable plan and following it. That's all that you're focused on right now is following the plan.
And that's where it's like keeping my word to myself and following the plan. That's where like I said, 2-3 times in the last 40 days have I actually followed my plan. And
so if you had to guess why is it, it sounds like you're putting everything on there that you would need, or are you not? Are you really making it? If we took weight loss off the table and it was just like, okay, I'm having everything, putting everything on there. Would you be able to make a plan that you could follow?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even want you to talk anymore. That is how we're different. This is something that just takes a little while to figure out. It's just like that the only thing I want you to focus on for the next 30 days is I don't care what's on this plan, but I'm going to put anything that I might want to eat on this plan because my only goal is to, you know, on my habit tracker to check off that I followed my plan today. Mm-hmm. Because what you were doing and what we're all doing before we level up, before we get to weight loss being on the table, is that we are making a commitment and following. But what's happening with you is that you're judging what you're putting, you know, you're like, no, I couldn't possibly put pizza on the plan every day, or I couldn't possibly put this on the plan every day. I can't lose weight that way. But what if weight loss is not the point right now?
Well, I've been 6 months not making any traction.
It hadn't worked yet, so right? You might as well try something different. You might as well try something new. And so for you, it is really being on, because you're not 8 or better. If you're not following it, it's not an 8 or better. Right. So you've got to kind of redefine, what does 8 or better mean to me? If I didn't have any judgment, you know, and that's that number 3 on the steps, right? If you didn't have any judgment about anything that you put on there, pizza every day, McDonald's, you know, whatever, what would be an 8 or better for you? That's where you got to get real and honest with yourself and work on, that's another skill that you're learning, is just not having judgment, because you're eating it anyway.
Right.
Behind your back.
Right. And then feeling shame and guilt.
And feeling shame and guilt anyway. And so it's just like, what if I just, I mean, and I'm telling y'all, I know this is different. I know that this is just a, because I mean, I just go back to when I was like, wait a minute, what are we doing here? This is crazy town. But what if, you know, me and all these other thousands of women that it's worked for, it really does work. And so you just got to try something different and do something new. And so really redefine what it means to eat or better, and you're eating it anyway. So put it on the plan. Okay. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad you came on, because this was like the perfect, if we just had one call, this was it. So many people need to hear this. All right. Take care. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I'm just going to answer a few more questions, y'all. And I want to get in the chat. And okay. I talked about swaps. Okay. Penny says, my plans look like what I was eating before No BS, but now I realize that the problem was not what I ate, but how much I ate. I most often ate best foods just too much. Light bulb moment. Love that, Penny, right? Because we have to incorporate the hunger scale eventually. For some of you newbies, the hunger scale may not be a factor at first. You know, one, we always talk about one basic at a time. And even for the caller that we just had, can't remember her name. Y'all, I'm so bad with names. She may just need to not even think about the hunger scale yet. Just make a totally doable plan, and the amounts are not even a factor yet. She's just working on, and a lot of you all are just working on following the plan, making it totally doable. Katrina says, if we're supposed to stop eating at a plus two, why only eat on a plate? Why not just eat from the bag? Why portion it at all? It's up to you, Katrina, but I find that if I'm eating from a bag and I'm eating from, you know, a box or whatever, I am not fully conscious. You know, here's these words I'm thinking of. I'm not as conscious. I'm not as aware. I'm not as controlled, and I'm not as responsible. Plus, I just am someone who wants to eat from a plate. But that's me. If you can eat consciously, responsibly, aware, and controlled from a bag, you go right ahead. Amber says, my doable plan is not something I want to follow. Okay, Amber, let me repeat that. My doable plan is not something I want to follow. That is a, I don't know what you call that, but that makes no sense. It's, if you do not want to follow it, it is not doable. You have to want to follow it, right? That's the definition of doable. I want to be someone who wants the healthier things. You don't want the healthier things right now. You just don't. You're fighting with yourself. I mean, and you got to be exhausted. In the morning, I don't want to put on my good foods. I want to put down just the best. Those good foods just aren't conducive to weight loss anymore. How do you reconcile this? You've got to be with yourself with a doable plan and drop the judgment and be okay with not losing weight for a while, because you are in such judgment, of yourself right now. I mean, I just hear a lot of self-loathing in your question, and weight loss and keeping it off from that place is never going to work. You've got to be truly honest with yourself. Honest is another word that you've got to have when you're doing doable planning, because you're just not being honest with yourself. Like you're lying to yourself and saying, I should eat healthier things. And you just don't want them. What if you just had the good foods and you just worked on your hunger scale and eating and following the hunger scale every day? Have you tried that? All these things, y'all, are just things that we have never done before. They're all new, but they are some things that you want to practice. Were you going to share info about the rest of the week? I might have missed it. So I was going to tell you all real quick before I get off of here, because I want to limit this to basically an hour. I want to tell y'all what I did for my 24-hour plan today, because Thursdays are a day. Some of you all maybe have heard me talk about this. Thursdays are a day when I keep my three nieces, who are 2, 3, and 6. And I come over to their house, which is where I am right now. They have all of the kiddie food. You know, they have all the snacks. They have all the stuff. And I have a past pattern of overeating on Thursdays. But it's only a past pattern. I mean, it can be a past pattern unless I choose to repeat it, right? So I'm always working on planning very realistically. And so what I plan today, and what I've been working on the last month or so, is to just plan super realistically on this day. And so today I chose, so I have my coffee in the morning, and then around lunchtime I had some oatmeal and I had a turkey, like a turkey wrap, like a, just some, you know, like a lettuce wrap with turkey. But they usually have graham crackers here, y'all. And graham crackers, I just love them. And I knew that they had some here because they had some last week. And so I plan to have some graham crackers and peanut butter as a snack in the afternoon. I'm usually don't eat a lot of sugar and flour. I'm not absolutely like no sugar, no flour, but I usually don't, it doesn't feel great in my body. And so I usually don't eat a lot of it, but I just plan really realistically. It was like, I'm probably gonna, if they've got graham crackers here, I'm probably gonna want some, and I am just gonna plan realistically. And then they also have like a lot of fruit here, a lot of different fruits. And so I plan some fruit. And then tonight we're staying over here. My husband's actually watching the girls right now, and we're going to have dinner out. Like, we're going to get takeout, and I don't know where. So I just said out to my plus two and, you know, takeout. And so that works for me. And again, I've been practicing it. So some days I have had graham crackers and peanut butter, but I've had some other things too. And so I've been off plan and I've done a recovery worksheet, but it's still a lot less food than I've eaten in the past while I've been over here. Cause a lot of times it's been more like, you know, how some might define a binge when I've been here, because I'm just eating everything out of the, you know, out of the cabinet. So if I allow myself, like, it's okay for me to have some graham crackers and peanut butter while I'm here, then that will keep me out of this, you know, this all or nothing eating behind my own back. What if I consciously ate graham crackers and peanut butter? But here's the thing. I have my graham crackers and peanut butter. I'm having like two of the sheets of crackers with, you know, as much peanut butter as I want on them. But I always have urges for more. That's the other thing, is that, you know, the urges might be there, but I'm practicing allowing the urges and reminding myself that, you know what, I allowed myself to have this. And it's okay that I want more, but I don't have to give myself more because I've allowed myself to have some. So that's what I'm working on right now. And I'm always working on stuff, y'all. Everything isn't figured out ever at any point. So I just wanted to kind of share my realistic planning. And I was telling y'all about the thing, the 4th of July, where I planned dessert and ended up overeating on dessert and basically felt terrible the next day and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, okay, I need to be a little bit more specific with my planning on dessert. Am I going to have one dessert? Am I going to, you know, do I need to write down a dessert 2 plus 2? Do, you know, how do I need to do this, right? It's like, we all have to develop this language with ourselves, where it might just look a little bit different than somebody else's plan, but it works for you. And what do you really mean? Being honest with yourself, being really real with yourself. That's what this is all about, trusting yourself. Okay. Anything else, y'all, when we, oh my gosh, there's so much in the chat and I didn't get a chance to look at all of it. No, good, better, best. So if y'all have any questions about good, better, best, it is now actually, we put Corinne's live that she did, kind of live training that she did on it, in No BS. So it is in the What Do I Eat lesson. So if y'all have any questions about good, better, best, then that's where those, that's that lesson is in there now. So y'all can go in there. I'll put that in the show notes. Make a note here. Actually, there's a little sticky note over here. So the good, better, best lesson, of course, the realistic or the 24-hour plan lesson in No BS. Good, better, best lesson. Okay. Let's see. Thanks, y'all. I want to go back and look through the chat and just answer, you know, everything, but I think I covered most everything. So, so glad y'all got a lot out of it. So next week I will be back for -2. So if y'all have any, here's the thing. If y'all have any questions about the -2 side, tag me, put something in Facebook and tag me if you want to, just so I can go ahead and have some questions to answer, on the call next week. I'll actually be in Nashville because we'll be getting ready. How exciting, y'all. We'll be getting ready for our virtual camp a week from tonight. We'll be like doing our run through and getting ready to get started on Friday. So I'll be in Nashville and we'll be doing the call on the -2 side. So, oh my gosh. Thank you, Soma. I was going to tell you something about at the end. So don't forget, y'all. So Corinne is doing her regular Q&A on Saturday morning. I think that's the next call. But Sunday is Corinne's birthday, the 12th. And she is doing a special 2-hour. That's how much she loves you guys. For her birthday, she wants to do a special long call, coaching call, for you all. And so she's going to start an hour earlier. She's starting at 11 on Sunday, her coaching, you know, usually starts at noon central. It's going to be at 11 central. So it's on the calendar. It's all, you know, it's all on there, but I just wanted to remind you that be sure and mark your calendars for 11 a.m. central on Sunday because Corinne is doing a special longer coaching call for her birthday. So, all right, guys, take care and I will see y'all next week. Love it. All right. See ya. Bye.